This is Pure Decking, show number 407 for Thursday, September 3rd. Pick a year, any year. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and I don't know why anybody is concerned about deep fakes of politicians. They're already saying some pretty crazy shit. And that's on all sides. Trump's not exactly the most eloquent speaker either, so whatever. Or, you know, salon owners. Of course, your average salon owner is actually a deeply devious and horrible person because they'll, able to deceive.
Well, didn't you know, man, you go to beauty school for 4 years. The first 3 years is like how to do hair and shit like that. And then it's international espionage for a year. You can deceive politicians into secrets.
I wouldn't put it past intelligence agencies to try to get people in jobs at salons and hairdressers and barbershops and the like in capital cities. It's probably a fantastic spy network because you never know who's going to be in there talking shop.
Yeah, good point.
I'm thinking bartenders would be better.
Well, that's a good call too.
Well, Alcohol loosens a lot of lips.
Well, that's how that woman lost her job in the White House. Remember, she was off the record. And then said something bad about the Trump kids. And she ended up losing the job because they reported it as news. It was meant to be off the record.
Whoops.
Oh, you have to be very, very, very clear with reporters. And even then, it's... do you still trust them? Because you say it's off the record doesn't mean it's off the record.
It just means you're trusting them to not put it in the record. Or to not keep the recording that they're making on their phone. But and by the way, anybody who thinks that you're talking to anybody privately or in confidence, and they happen to own a cell phone, assume it's in their pocket and it's recording everything you say.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Especially if they're a reporter, it probably is. I can't tell you how many meetings and... one-on-one conference calls and shit like that I've secretly recorded just in case. I usually don't keep the recordings that long, but and that's not even in journalism. That's just in my day-to-day job to cover my ass.
Because chains are always archived.
Dude, I can't tell you how many times I get emails and... shit like that. So a lot of times I'll ask people to send me an email now when they want me to change something because they'll send it to you on Slack. They'll call you. They'll do everything but put it in writing because they want to have that plausible deny. I didn't say to do that. So, yeah, I've been on both ends of all of those games and it's just like, I don't want to play. So, anyways... I'm Morps. Tonight we have Mr. RU. What's up, RU?
So much, man. It's another day. What is this year?
And we have Madman, who pointed out to me that the president was impeached this year. It's like, damn, you're right.
Yeah, that happened this year. And then Sam Adams has recently released its abomination upon the world. Pumpkin beer should not exist. It is wrong.
So
if you like it, you are also wrong.
I was going to say, did you get some and decide you didn't like it? Or did you get some and strangely you did like it and felt bad about it, so now you got to denounce it?
No, I just tried it and didn't like it. There are just some things that don't need to be pumpkin. One of which is a latte, the other is beer. Pumpkin is pumpkin. It's the only thing that needs to be pumpkin.
I'm pretty sure pumpkin spice is majority cinnamon. But They call it pumpkin, so whatever. Anyways, I personally don't see the need to wussy up coffee that much. Well, espresso, you kind of need a little something in there to tone it down.
Hell no. Blasphemy.
You go for straight espresso?
Yep.
Yeah.
No other way.
Occasionally, I'll do a straight espresso, but that one I'll wussy up a little bit. Regular coffee, though? No.
You know, I drink espresso in a regular cup and fill it up. I have a little stove pot that's meant to make like four espressos. I just pour it all into one.
Yeah, I've got a similar one of those. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Those are...
two of those a day, man. That's all you need.
Yeah.
One in the morning and one just at lunchtime, and that's it. You don't want to drink any other caffeine after that. Getting the shakes lately, but that's to be expected.
I used to just break up three Yellow Jackets into a bottle of balls and hope my heart didn't stop.
As opposed to, you know, just vaping caffeine and being done with it. Of course, I guess you can't do that anymore. That used to be a thing.
Out of that. I'm glad you got out of that phase.
So
what's the first story of the evening?
I was trying to find a funny picture, but I can't find it now. That's all right. Oh, there it is. It's by caffeine alone I set my mind in motion. Has anybody heard this one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways. First article is from thebusinessinsider.com. And it's not what I originally thought it was when I first got the article, so we'll see. Amazon posted and then deleted a job listing for intelligence analysts to monitor workers' efforts to unionize.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of illegal.
Yeah.
No, that's when you just have their supervisors do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the highlights in the article here. Amazon posted a job listing this week for an intelligence analyst tasked with monitoring workers' efforts to unionize and reporting back to top executives at the company. The analyst's job duties would also include gathering information for use in Amazon legal actions, including restraining orders against labor groups, according to the listing. Amazon deleted the job listing on Tuesday after Business Insider reached out for comment. It was shared widely by labor activists on social media before being taken down. In a now-deleted job listing posted this week, Amazon advertised it's looking to hire an intelligence analyst tasked with duties including snooping on workers' unionization efforts and reporting back to executives about their findings. It's a sign of Amazon's escalating fight to stop its workers from organizing. The company had previously turned to unorthodox methods to quash unionization. Its subsidiary Whole Foods built a heat map tool specifically for tracking unionization threats. The job listing described the role as focused on labor organizational threats against the company, as well as gathering material for legal actions against labor groups who protest the company. Individual analysts will work directly with the senior corporate counsel to compile and provide assessment for use in court filings up to and including restraining orders against activist groups. Intelligence assessments are used by legal to determine what court of law that activist group harbor... to demonstrate to court of law that activist group harbor intent for continued illegal activity vis-a-vis Amazon, the listing said. The position also includes other responsibilities, including gathering information about competitors, geopolitical issues, and even terrorism threats that could inform Amazon's decisions. So, yeah, unionization was part of just a general risk analyst, from the look of this. Legal risk, I should say. Now, the analyst
who
was also,
am I emailing? where am I saying my resume?
I don't know. They took the posting down, but I'm sure there's screenshots of it all over the place. The analyst would also be expected to create bespoke risk methodologies tailored to Amazon's various business units. The job listing was taken down shortly after Business Insider reached out to Amazon for comment. The day after the publication, an Amazon spokesperson told Business Insider that the job post was not an accurate description of the role. It was made an error and has since been corrected. So... it was on Amazon Jobs and it's been pulled down, so it was an apply now button. But apparently Amazon has been firing workers who were outspoken critics of the labor conditions during the pandemic. And of course, there's probably several, you know, large-scale unions trying to get into Amazon's factories. So,
yeah, good. All of them.
Mm-hmm. Keep them out.
Well, I mean, Walmart has the same problem. The unions are constantly trying to get in there, too. So, when I originally saw this article, I actually was thinking it was going to be talking about tech unions, because I've seen that conversation come up, especially in game developer circles, occasionally. And I personally have not had good experiences with unions. My experience with unions was seeing them keep people in a job who otherwise wouldn't have had a job, which you can, you know, some people might see that as a good thing, but, you know, given that I was trying to move up the ranks at the time, all I saw was, you know, keeping people who didn't do anything in a job.
Yeah.
No, if they're incompetent, then you let them go. All an incompetent employee does is hurts employee morale, so your competent ones are more likely to want to leave, and then hurt your business because you have an idiot dealing with your customers.
That's basically what it was, yeah. And then couldn't get rid of some of these guys because the union. Now, the funny thing is, I changed jobs a few times and then ended up working at a, it was a plastics plant that actually had that same union, but this time I was on the management side of the house because I was up in the business, not out on the floor. Because at this point I was actually doing computer shit, right? But it was the same damn union I had dealt with at one of my previous jobs. And it did the same thing, by the way. It just kept people in jobs who otherwise would have been fired for incompetence or laziness. Because it was such a hassle to fire anybody through the union, it was easier just to make their life hell until they quit. And I did see a few managers.
And that drives morale down again.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to be coming in miserable, and that's going to kill the mood of your workshop.
So, now that said, I have some family that's worked in the Amazon warehouses. I know some people who've had jobs out in the Amazon. It's not a great job. It's not a terrible job, but it's not a great job. You know,
are they working for corporate or are they working for a franchise?
They don't have the job anymore, but she worked for a franchise. And but you know what they were still packing. She was still packing orders, but they were just from one specific, large scale retailer that operates out of one of Amazon's it operates out of Amazon's warehouses. It was, you know, they sell exclusively on Amazon kind of thing. I forget the name of the company. It was shoes, but it was
the reason I was asking is if it's a franchise, then. Yeah, the corporation needs to keep an eye on their franchise partners, but it's more a problem with the franchise than the corporation.
From what she told me, it wasn't that her job was terribly onerous or bad. It was basically, you know, getting a box of shoes off the shelf that matched the order, you know, taping up the box, labeling it, shipping it out, right? So it wasn't that big of a deal. But she said a lot of the people who worked for Amazon directly, because it was a shared warehouse, I mean, they were timing them constantly and just, you know, they were always running everywhere, even though she said you weren't supposed to be running and, you know, you always looked haggard and stuff like that. So, I mean, I get it that Amazon's conditions are probably not great, especially given the number of orders they get in a day. And I'm sure, I mean, I contribute to that too, ordering my random 3D printer parts, right? But at the same time, I don't have a very high opinion of unions, especially these big ones that are, you know, multi-company and across a whole industry, especially when they get political. That was the other big problem I had with the particular union I was talking about at the beginning is they got very political and you know, they had the little checkbox of can we give, I'm trying to remember the exact wording. It was basically, can we give your money to Democrats? And the strange thing was, after I checked no on that box, because I just didn't want to deal with politics at all at the time, yeah, I never got a promotion or a raise again. Although that union couldn't even protect my wage when I changed to buildings. So, you know, for what it was worth.
One problem with unions, a lot of people think the union is there for the worker. And initially, a lot of good ones
it's
are.
It's supposed to be, but it's not.
Unions are their own company. A union is there for the union to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you
it's literally good bureaucracy union representatives, for the sake of bureaucracy.
Then you might have a decent union. But how much time did you specifically spend on who's the union rep? Who wants to be the next union rep? Do I even want to replace this union rep? Because I don't know of anyone that really thinks of that.
Well, where did that union rep go? We haven't seen him in 6 weeks.
Yeah, but as far as unions go, I'm kind of mixed. I'm completely opposed to public sector unions, and I think they should be outlawed. As far as private sector unions, I've been told good things from some people that worked with the whatever union is in General Motors, the automotive union.
United Auto. Yeah.
The UAW. I've heard good things about the UAW. I have not heard anything good about any service member union, like any restaurant union or grocers unions. I haven't heard good things from them, but I've heard good things from the UAW. So as far as private sector goes, as with employees, it just depends on your union. But the UAW killed the auto industry.
Yeah.
Well, they just make labor extraordinarily expensive.
Unions did all right in enacting certain labor laws for manual workers, stuff like that. But then they took it too far, man.
I'm not even sure they did that.
I worked a couple of union jobs. Never again. I'm inside. I've got 16 bathrooms on a high rise to get done. I'm going to do it in a week. It's pissing down rain outside, and they call everybody off-site because there's a puddle deeper than a half an inch. They shut the whole thing down.
For a Siding puddle? Health and
safety. Yeah, for a puddle.
Health and safety.
These people are fucking retarded. Yeah, and then I'm just working away, and next thing I'm getting a $190 fine for not wearing a hard hat. Indoors. The fuck off. They ruined it, man.
Okay, the hard hat fine, I don't think that's union. I think that might be your version of OSHA. Unions, I don't think, can actually fine you. At least not in this country.
I don't know who it was, but it didn't go to me anyway. It went to my boss at the time. I was working wages, and even I was getting frustrated at the stop, start.
Well, I just never saw the union do anything other than play games, but then that particular union failed to protect my wages when I was going to college and moved. Same company.
But no one.
And
no
yeah, they couldn't even fucking protect my wages. It's like, what the hell's the point of a union if you can't even do that?
No one's forcing you to work for Amazon. If Amazon's conditions get so bad, then the average person just won't work there. Therefore, Amazon will have to change their conditions until it's just a game, a push and shove.
One thing I think they're going to start doing is wages. What's considered a good wage in one part of the country isn't a good wage in another.
Yeah.
And you can locate a lot of your warehouses in the South where cost of living's a bit cheaper, and even a bit in the Midwest, and still be within a day's drive of just about everywhere. Like where I live, lower cost of living, and I'm within a day's drive of everything on the East Coast. A day and a half if you want to do dot regulations. And that's even hitting Canada.
Yeah.
So you can do locate their distribution centers, which is most of their manual labor, just along pretty much the Mason-Dixie line and the Midwest. Avoid California and higher priced states. And then whenever it comes to their digital services, go remote with that. Let the people live wherever they want, and then they choose where their wage spreads out the most money.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, my own opinion's kind of not very union positive, and I don't really
Although we are kind of moving into a time where it is an employer's market, simply because the government shut down so much stuff, so it's really hard to find another job.
Well,
and
soon,
I hate to see Amazon take advantage of that in a horrible way.
It's going to be an employer's market for the next God knows how long. Automated vehicles, you know.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, I mean, if you have a company that really is, you know, abusing its people, and, you know, for whatever economic reason, you have people still willing to deal with it to a point. I mean, because you're right. You know, at some point, you just say the hell with this and quit the job, right? But, you know, if that's not happening because of, maybe it's an economic reason. I mean, a lot of people are afraid to lose a job right now. I mean, you're always afraid to lose a job, but especially right now where, you know, you're looking at, you know, with this COVID shutdown still going on, that you don't really know how easy or hard it's going to be to get another job. I, you know, of course, I work in the tech industry or tech sector, and I'm seeing people change jobs all the time right now, but it's also... Yeah, you know, it's also in areas where a lot of people are working remote. So I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not saying a union can't be a good thing, especially if you do have a company that's taking advantage of its employees, you know, to excess. But at the same time, is that really, you know, it's like you said, you could always just quit. And of course, you know, that's easier said than done too. Nobody, you know, especially if those, you have mortgage and car payment and everything else, right? So,
one of the job responsibilities that kind of struck me on that is looking at terrorism. So part of that job could be which areas of this country are likely to try to burn itself down. We don't want to locate any physical infrastructure there. We can do remote work because if someone's apartment's burned down, that's not going to cost the company money. But do we really want to put a warehouse there or a distribution center there?
The company I work at right now, we pay a third-party company for those kind of for that kind of monitoring alert and alerts based for the states we operate in. And I get a lot more of them now than I did when we first when I first started working with this company. Basically, these reports in our email saying there's going to be a protest here and it might affect our, you know, offices in various cities. You know, of course, I was getting several for the hurricane and stuff like that. So, you know, we just contract it out. We don't even bother, you know, doing it inside of. But it's a very useful service because it does let us know where we're likely to have problems. So I can see an analyst job like that actually being a very useful thing. But, you know, somebody was very obsessed with the union when they wrote it from what it sounds like. So what were you saying, are you?
I'd like to figure out how to get into that sector, but I think you have to come from the three-letter acronym background, don't you?
No.
You'd be surprised what all jobs require such research. A lot of banking is nothing but auditing and research.
Yeah, I'd like to get into that, man. That's really up my alley, looking at all that. Oh, shit, I've been watching these riots, what, 97 days now? Great.
Yeah, that's just finding a company that's hiring and like, look, yeah, you know, here's what I do every day. Convincing them that you know what you're on about and you're willing to do the work. And, of course, you know, if you don't have a degree in the right field...
I'm on the bleeding edge of news, fucking, you know, 15 hours a day the last, you know, 12 years. Can I have a job?
Well, the other way to do it is to flip it around and start getting their attention by doing the work anyways, writing up the reports on what you're seeing, posting them somewhere, and then like, hey, you know, everybody in LinkedIn, look at this.
Yeah.
But, and again, and I understand why a company wouldn't want to get a union involved, because even if the, you know, even if the company thinks they're doing everything right and a union gets involved now, you know, dealing with their labor is way more expensive and way more of a pain in the ass, and things aren't nearly as you know, as plannable as they would like it to be. So, you know, I get it. But and then I was just thinking with Amazon, like I was saying, tech unions, where you're talking about programmers and people who do sysadmin work and stuff like that. You know, in my sysadmin days, yeah, you end up working a lot of fucking weird hours because they don't want you impacting the business, you know, while you're taking systems down and stuff like that. But at the same time, they still want you available during the regular 9 to 5 in case something happens. So that gets weird quick, especially because usually you're not hourly. Usually you're on salary, so they can just call you up at any hour of the night and makes that overtime free to them, you know. And salary and plus that, overtime doesn't really exist.
When you're negotiating your salary, you need to take that into account.
You're right, you do. And when you're talking about like game programming and stuff like that, you have a lot of people who want to get into game development because they love the concept, not because they have any idea of how it really works. And so, yeah, these companies take advantage of it. You know, they'll get them in the door, burn them out, and then kick them out, and they don't give a shit. Because you've got 100 more people right behind them who are like, ooh, I want to get into game programming. I'm going to be a rock star. And, you know, they just totally take advantage of it. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know that a union is the correct answer there. Maybe it's just educating people on what these markets are like, and maybe be like, you know what? It would be great programming games all day, but it's probably a much more reliable and safe job to be working on banking software. Not as exciting, but...
Work on banking software during the day, develop your game at night, because that's a skill you can do on your own, and then launch the next Minecraft.
Sure. Why not? So, anyways, moving on.
Oh, Twitch streamer is a job that actually exists.
Twitch streamer, YouTuber. But I mean, that's like, you know, that's like getting a job as a, you know, actor or singer. Yeah, there's going to be a handful of people who make it, and there's going to be a lot of people trying. And, you know, there's probably going to be some really good money to be made in almost getting famous.
Don't do what Boogie did.
No, don't do that. But actually, I was thinking more of like...
I can think of three really big streamers that were massive that are now bankrupt because they just pissed they thought that you know, that YouTube money was never going to stop.
I was thinking more along the lines of like, you know, getting into traditional Hollywood, but instead of being a main, you know, main star, be a professional background actor or voiceover guy. Right? Yeah. You read copy for commercials. You're a professional dude in the background. Why not? You know?
That's like, oh, I'm going to be in the NFL. There's only a handful that ever make it. Like, everyone's trying out, man. It doesn't mean you shouldn't try for the game. You know, like, have a go. If you really want to try that YouTube dollars or somewhere else, have a crack, but have a plan. If you do make it, have a plan.
And if you become a PewDiePie, do what he did. Diversify. Mm. If that guy's YouTube goes up, he's got how much real estate that he's a landlord of?
Oh, yeah, dude. He's got houses everywhere. Yeah. And whatever you do, before you even start, go and watch The Ballad of Andy Worski. Do not do what Andy Worski did.
I'm not sure about that. Andy Worski made it big. And who are we still talking about after he's dead?
DPV Andy said OnlyFans. Well, you have to be a hot chick to do OnlyFans, but you know, hey.
Oh, pay me money and I'll stop twerking into this camera. I will even put my pants back on.
Oh, that's not right.
You don't have to start out clothed with that, I don't think. I'll have to look into this, but it could be a business model.
Sorry, I hate women enough to tell them not to go into prostitution. I know that makes me wrong in 2020, but I just hate women so much that they shouldn't whore themselves out on the internet for money. But that's my internal issues that I'm struggling with, my inner hatred of women not to do pornography. Anyway, let's do the next story.
Next story is from Yahoo News. Court rules NSA phone snooping illegal after 7-year delay.
Imagine who did my they snoop shock. On?
This is the stuff that Snowden revealed when he went to Russia.
Russia.
The National Security Agency program that swept up the details on billions of American phone calls was illegal and possibly unconstitutional, a federal appeals court ruled Wednesday. However, the unanimous three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said the role the so-called telephone metadata program played in criminal terror fundraising case against four Somali immigrants was so minor that it did not undermine their convictions. The long-awaited decision is a victory for prosecutors, but some language in the court's opinion could be viewed as a rebuke of sorts of officials who defended the snooping by pointing to the case involving Basley Malin and three other men found guilty by a San Diego jury in 2013 on charges of fundraising for Al-Shabaab. Judge Martha Burns' opinion, which contains half a dozen references to the role former NSA contractor and whistleblower Edward Snowden in disclosing the NSA metadata program, concluded that the bulk collection of such data violated the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. The call tracking effort began without court authorization under President Bush following September 11, 2001 terror attack. Similar program was approved by the secretive FISA court beginning 2006 and renewed many times, but the Ninth Circuit Court or panel said those rulings were legally flawed. The appeals court stopped just short of saying that the snooping was definitely unconstitutional, but rejected the Justice Department's arguments that collecting the metadata did not amount to a search under a 40-year-old legal precedent because customers voluntarily share such information with telephone providers. Yeah, that's shaky. That's shaky. Well, you're using a phone, so you obviously agree to be wiretapped.
No, they didn't. They agreed to have their voice transmitted from this number to this number over here over a seemingly secured network.
So there's not really much else to say about this other than the court finally found it, at least illegal. But there was so little criminal conviction, terrorist action, anything that came out of this, that this ruling is basically useless with the exception of maybe just telling them to stop it if they haven't already. I know they said they did, but did they really? So
okay. The problem is we won't know, because the big problem with the FISA court hasn't been solved. The big problem with the FISA court isn't exactly that it exists. It's that it's secret. There should not be a secret court.
Exactly.
Get no argument out of me.
So until we can look at their records, we don't know. So they just need to make it no longer a secret court. And I understand that there's going to be a delay to the release of records. There are in most every court case. But we need to know what they've done so that we can look and see, does it need to continue to exist? Or do the costs outweigh the benefits? And there's only a handful of senators and congressmen even willing to take them on. And I like the Donald. I don't think he's going to be a president that'll take it on. He needs to be prodded, and I don't see the right people prodding him in that direction.
Well, it's not within their interest, see?
At least with it being declared, illegal, it does mean that they can't use that as evidence in a court case. So, the likelihood of continuing if you can't use it for anything is at least diminished. Granted, they can do the whole, we can't present this evidence, but we can use this as a lead to go, search for things we can present as though we didn't have the phone tap system.
The term is parallel investigation.
Thank you. I couldn't remember what that was called.
Look that up and be afraid. That's a series of articles I read that really scared me about FISA.
Yep.
It wasn't what they were directly doing. It was what the parallel investigations did.
So if they're targeting you, they target you and everyone you know.
Oh, no, that's not what a parallel investigation is. That's just an investigation. Okay, so...
That's where they do an illegal investigation and then use that to, at the same time, say, hey, you guys doing the legal investigation? You might want to go look over here. We can't tell you how we know this because that would taint your investigation.
Yeah, that's effectively what it is. Now, they may do a couple more backflips or cartwheels or pretzel-shaped contortions to put a bit more distance between five-letter agency and cops, but that is effectively what it is. And yeah, it is scary as fuck. And this has been uncovered a couple of times, so it is not a conspiracy. We just don't know how often it's happened, and supposedly it's been stopped, and everyone involved has been properly reprimanded, but I don't know of anyone going to jail. And because it's FISA, we don't know if anyone was fired, because that's all classified shit. But supposedly, when it's happened, it's been stopped, and it hasn't happened that often.
Well, considering that a lot of the NSA stuff was mainly used to spy on wives and girlfriends...
Does not surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about that when we found that article. It was funny.
At least the Ninth Circuit has become less retarded. This did come out of the Ninth Circuit, you said.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, less retarded. That's actually a good ruling from them.
Yeah, they used to be highly political, so... Of course, Trump's appointed a bunch of new judges.
Yep.
So, I mean, for federal courts, it doesn't do much for state, but this would have been a federal ruling, so.
Yeah, circuit courts are federal.
And I know a lot of people were complaining about the judges he was appointing, but, you know, hey, maybe it's doing something, so. I don't know. Next article?
Next one.
This next one is from 9 to 5. Mac, it might help if I copied the URL as opposed to pasting the Yahoo URL into the IRC again.
Yahoo!
I'm just going to pretend you didn't do that. And this one's from 9 to 5 Mac. Apple reportedly delaying iOS 14 advertising privacy features because so many people are complaining at them. You know, the thing we did the story on last week that we're like, what's the problem? last week, Facebook and other major publishers heavily criticized Apple over the upcoming privacy changes in iOS 14 that are expected to cut down on mobile ad revenue. Now, a new report from The Information says that Apple is planning to delay the new app and website tracking features. Facebook has criticized Apple several times over the new privacy features in iOS 14 that it says could see ad revenue drop by as much as 40%. Then, shortly after, a group of publishers shared the same fears, with one expected up to a 50% decline in ad revenue on iOS. So, by the way, the main thing on these features is having the operating system show you what all these apps are tracking and ask permission first.
So how many zeros do you think was on that check that was sent to Apple? Like, can you delay this 6 months? Okay, now... How many zeros will it take after this one for you to delay this 6 months? I think we can come to a number we can both be happy with.
I mean, just think about that. So all these the major point of these changes is exposing what these apps are collecting and asking for permission. And because most people are going to say fuck no to most of these apps, meaning they don't want to be tracked, they're saying they're going to lose half their revenue because they're giving people an option. I mean, that's just downright disturbing.
I think that's an overestimation.
Oh, I'm sure.
How many people do you know that install something and just click yes to get to the program?
Quite a few.
That's what's going to happen with these apps. They're going to download gonna be the newest version of TikTok and be like, yes, 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 yes.
Or it's going to be like websites with ad block, right? Oh, you didn't give me permissions. I can't operate. I've uninstalled multiple Android apps off my main phone because, you know, it asks for all these permissions. You say no, and the app just comes right back up and says, we can't function without these permissions. And it's like, this is this app has no need to access, like, the telephone. Why does it need my call history?
I'm watching old movies. It doesn't need to know my contacts.
Right. So, and it's basically like, okay, fine, uninstall the app. I have multiple apps I've done that to. And it's like, okay, you want to see me not use your app? That's how you get me to not use your app. You want to see the other quick way you want to see me to uninstall your app? Put stupid notifications on my phone that are just advertising your shit. It's like, oh, you've installed your app. That means I can push ads to your phone. Fuck you. You want to see me uninstall your shit so fast it's not even funny.
But I'm still... I don't think it's going to be a 50% drop just from the needing to click yes, because I have a low opinion of humanity. I think a lot of them will still click yes.
I think you'll have enough of them who are like, but I want to do this, and it says I have to play the game. So, but new report from the Information Today says Apple is now planning to push back introducing the default feature that would ask users if they're okay with being tracked across apps and websites. Quote, Apple has told some developers that it plans to delay the enforcement of a controversial change to its next mobile operating system that would upend how ads are targeted on iPhones and iPads, according to people familiar with the matter. Unquote. While the tension between Apple and developers and advertisers has grown to a boiling point in the past few weeks, concerns were raised almost immediately after Apple announced a new ad tracking privacy feature at WWDC in June. The information sources believes Apple's delay of the feature comes after hearing feedback from a number of third parties, including some big game developers like Activision Blizzard. So,
oh, come on, Blizzard. Be better than this.
Oh, okay, Blizzard is dead. The company that we grew up with as Blizzard that was making Warcraft 2, Starcraft, and the original War, that's gone. That company does not exist. Most of those people have been fired. You know, they are a brand name owned by Activision. So, now they're still maintaining the Blizzard games, or at least trying to, with things like Overwatch and you know they're continuing to operate World of Warcraft and stuff like that. But I've read enough interviews with current and former Blizzard devs that company is not, it's not the same company anymore. It's a brand. It's a brand that got known for reputation, and they're trying to maintain that reputation. But, yeah, they were bought for, you know, the company was bought for their brand and their IP, and they've just been cycling out people. So,
bad day.
Yeah, it's been like that. Unfortunately, it's been that way for years, and it's just starting to get out that it's been like that for a while. Yeah, that was actually one of the companies where I was reading about people trying to found, programmers unions because activism pays them so little that they were, you know, 4 to 5 people to an apartment, and they all worked at Blizzard because it was the only way they could afford to get an apartment. Now, that's probably as much to do with how expensive apartments are in California. But that's what I was talking about earlier, about people being, they really want to get into the games industry. They want to get into these specific industries to the point that the company doesn't have to give a shit. You know, they might get a handful of talented developers that they actually want to keep. They'll pay them something. Everybody else, slave wages. You say fuck it and quit, they don't care. They got 20 people lined up behind you to take that spot.
That's going to be the new norm, man.
Well, not only that, but a lot of these tech companies talk. So, the management at one company knows the management at another company. And, you know, if you get on a blacklist, you're done, man. You have to basically move to another city to get a programming job.
Yeah.
In fact, I know of a few sysadmins who have a very hard time getting sysadmin work in the city I live in because people talk and they're just not, they did something stupid. And so they don't have, people call for their reputation. No, we would not hire them again, like at all, ever. It's like, would you recommend we hire them? Legally, I have to say, I can't answer that question. But if we were on a web conference, you would see me vigorously shaking my head. So, but yeah, so, you know, reputation is a thing. These companies do talk, and unfortunately, it's like, oh yeah, that guy's a troublemaker. You know, we won't hire him again. You know, that's all it takes anymore. And like I said, there's 20 people lined up behind him. So why would we get somebody with a bad reputation when we can get somebody else who's not? Which is why I think what Madman said earlier is the best way to go. If you want to get into the games industry, you know, get your 9-to-5 job programming banking software during the day and do your gaming at night or game development at night. So, I mean, hell, indie games are the thing right now. So, and there's enough digital markets between the mobile app stores, Steam, what's the other one? And I mean Epic, but I don't know. I've not seen independent games get into Epic, but I'm sure if you got a good enough game, you would. GOG, all that kind of stuff, right? Be really easy to get out there with an indie game, especially a good one. So, this story. Yeah, or you sent me this one. You ready for the next one, guys?
Yeah, I'm good. Okay.
So, RU sent me this story, but so this is from the BBC. India and Russia have been declared joint winners in a major international chess tournament after two Indian players lost their internet connection during the final round. An online version of the chess Olympiad contest is being held for the first time this year, or is being held. So it's being held online because of the coronavirus. India appealed after two of its players lost connections to their games and forfeited on time. Officials said there were unprecedented circumstances. The online chess Olympiad has been impacted by a global internet outage that severely affected several countries, including India. Two of the Indian players have been affected and lost connection. When the outcome of the match was still unclear, Arkady Dvorkovich, president of the International Chess Federation, said in a statement. He said he decided to award both teams gold medals in the absence of a unanimous decision from the body's appeals committee. Teams from more than 160 countries have participated in this year's online event, which began in July. But the final is not the first time the tournament has come under scrutiny. Armenia on Friday said one of its players was disconnected from the server during its qualification or a quarterfinal match against India and lost its time. The appeal was rejected, and the country withdrew from the competition in protest. 44th Chess Olympiad was scheduled to take place in Russia this month, but postponed until next year because of the pandemic. So, so the funny thing is, you're going to do an online gaming tournament. It happens to be chess, but there are other online, gaming type events. You know, sort of an electronic sports, as it were. And they have rules for what happens when you lose your internet connection, because it turns out maintaining your connection and your equipment is part of gaming online. And when I read this, they both get gold, trophies, or gold medals. So what is this, participation trophies? I mean,
that's it, man. They didn't win shit.
I mean, I get why they're protesting. Like, oh, we lost our internet in this major outage. If you're going to account for bad internet connection, then you need a way to pause the clocks when players aren't connected, like if their internet goes out. Of course, this means that for our online competitions like this, it's not going to be about who's got the better players. It's going to be about which team can afford the best DDoS protection versus which team can afford the best DDoS botnet.
Oh no, no. I'm losing the match tragically. Oh no, my internet went out. Oh, now I get gold place as well.
What's that smashing sound in the background? The it's not a hammer hitting my router.
There wasn't enough points, so they wouldn't be able to decide it on those two. But you wouldn't want to prevent the outage at this point. It's a timed chess match. You want more time to decide your move. I have intermittent connectivity.
Yeah.
Whenever I need a couple more seconds, I'm unplugging the network cable from the back of my router.
Oh, that's the old Xbox cheat.
Then sticking it back in when I know what I need to do.
Madman, were you one of those laggers on Xbox Live?
No.
No? You weren't one of the people who'd unplug their network connection in Halo, go around, shoot everyone, and then plug it back in and let it update?
You played me in Halo. Did I need to do that?
No, but that's because you wouldn't let me play with a keyboard and mouse.
That, I kept choosing maps where I memorized where all the shit was. Dick player.
Speaking of a dick player, this article's not, I mean, it's tech adjacent, but it's really just embezzlement. It's from ZDNet.com. Former IT director gets jail time for selling government Cisco gear on eBay. Do you guys have anything else on the chess match before we moved on?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
A South Carolina man was sentenced this week to 2 years in federal prison for taking government-owned networking equipment and selling it on eBay. The man, Terry Sean Petrel, 48, of Myrtle Beach, worked as the IT security director for Horry County in South Carolina. The Department of Justice said in a press release on Tuesday, according to court documents, beginning on June the 11th of 2015 through August 23rd of 2018, Petrel ordered 41 Cisco 3850 switches that were to be installed in the Horry County network. U.S. authorities said throughout the years when the switches would arrive, Petrel would take custody of the devices and tell fellow IT staffers that he would handle the installation alone. Okay. Anybody who's actually done a network switch swap on a backbone or a data center knows the last thing you want to do is be doing that alone. Switch swaps are such a pain in the ass. You know, you usually want somebody helping out, if nothing else, just to hold the damn things up when you're switching them out of the racks, or to help, you know, cable manage. Anyways, according to, U.S. authorities said that throughout the year, I already read that. However, investigators said that Petrel did not install the switches on the network and instead sold them to third parties and kept the proceeds for himself. So it's not really tech related at all. It's just embezzlement. This is just equipment theft and embezzlement.
Yeah. This dude's just a thief.
Yep. FBI agents. Go ahead.
He's not even doing it the more intelligent way of replacing it and then selling the old hardware. So you're not getting as much money out of it. But who's more likely to notice? The new shit not being there or the old shit not being there?
FBI agents who investigated the case said they tracked 9 of the 41 missing Cisco switches to ads on eBay, while the location of the rest remains unknown. Nonetheless, this was enough to file charges against Petrel, which authorities arrested and indicted in November 2019. Officials said Petrel confessed his activity in a manner to attempt to assist authorities and fully accepted responsibility for his actions. So he basically said, I'm caught, threw up his hands. Besides prison time, Petrel was also ordered to pay restitution in the amount of $345,265.57 to the Horry County government. It's like, well, here's the 57 cents. It's going to take me a minute to come up with the rest.
Oh, guess who had his house seized?
Oh, yeah. So then they referenced the story we talked about last week about somebody getting into Cisco after they quit and deleting VMs for WebEx, but that's not really relevant to this story either. But you would think somebody would notice that this guy kept saying, oh, yeah, I'll switch out the switches, and they'd go look in the closet and same damn switch. I mean, of course, if this guy was in charge of, you know, they say he was a security director. That doesn't really describe what his duties were, because I've seen that title used for a lot of things. If he was the one in charge of inventory management and control, all he'd have to do is slap a new ICN on the existing one in the box, or you just go stick a new ICN sticker on the switch that's already in the closet, see if anybody notices. Of course, they might notice when there's like 5 or 6 stickers piled up and it's starting to stick out a little bit. you know, it's like your registration sticker on your license plate. Eventually, it's like, you know, an inch off the plate because you've got so many stickers piled up on top of it.
Time to switch corners.
Yeah. Or, you know, break out a razor blade and scrape that old shit off. And so, yeah, I don't recommend thieving from your employer. You know, somebody might get upset and charge you to 2 years in prison and have to pay your house. So, probably not a good idea. Of course, probably even better idea, just don't steal.
There you go.
You know, maybe not committing crimes is a good idea. Just going to throw that out there. Nothing but bold statements on this show tonight.
I don't always loot and thieve, but when I do, I yell Black Lives Matter.
Sad part, I don't think you're wrong.
Hello?
Last story for tonight. This is from The Verge. These anti-procrastination smart glasses use AI to monitor what you look at all day. This isn't going to get abused at all.
Can they tell if I'm asleep?
I don't know that.
Of course, they won't function correctly for me.
The difficulty of staying focused in an age of distractions is one of those annoyingly accurate cliches. The author claims he checked his phone 3 times just writing the paragraph. But a startup named, how would you say that? Aucify, A-U-C-T-I-F-Y. Aucify? I don't know how you'd say that. Has what it claims is a solution. Smart glasses that use AI to monitor what you're looking at and nudge you to pay attention, depending on your worldview. It's the product of your dreams or a productivity hacking nightmare. The glasses are called Specs, and they launched today on Indiegogo. Oh, well, it's crowdfunded, so that means it's absolutely a real thing and not just a Photoshop markup and a slick video. The premise is simple. A camera built into the frame of the Specs uses machine learning to identify what you're looking at, whether it's a laptop, book, or fellow human being. It records this data and sends it to a connected app where users can take action in a number of ways. If you're casual, you can simply get a breakdown of how you spent each day, with colorful pie charts recording how many of the finite minutes of your life you've wasted recently. Oh, that's helpful. If you want to be more proactive, you can set focus sessions for times when you want to concentrate on certain activities. And if you really want to be whipped into shape, Specs can alert you when you're looking at the wrong thing. Visual and audio cues, either a light in the corner of your vision or a sound played through the glasses' built-in speakers. Employee, you have not been looking at your computer screen for the past 5 seconds.
A small electrical shock will now be administered.
Right?
Yeah. This is sounding fucking wonderful. Bezos will be inventing it.
I'm thinking Snow Crash, actually.
Yeah.
You know, when YT's mom, I think that was her name, you know, is working in the government office, and they have a memo that goes out, and it should take, you know, it should take approximately 15 minutes to read the memo. And, you know, so they're sitting there reviewing how long it took somebody to read the memo. And if somebody didn't spend long enough on it, or they spent too long on it, they were sent for remedial training. And if they spent exactly 15 minutes, they were a jackass. yeah, so that's what I see this. Putting aside a product like this that's about our work-obsessed culture, can Specs work as promised? Well, I'm sure it can. It can identify what kind of screen you're looking at. But,
can it identify whether I'm looking at something that's work-appropriate?
Well, I'm thinking more along the lines of, okay, so you're wearing glasses that can identify what you're looking at all day long. How long is it going to be before somebody says, okay, can these glasses identify crime? Whether you're the one committing the crime or not. But, so, you know, how long before you have everybody walking around wearing these smart glasses that, oh, they see somebody breaking into a store. The police get 100 reports and video of all these people who see it. You know, you're now an unwilling witness whether you wanted to testify or not because your glasses reported it.
You don't need me as a witness. You've got the videotape.
Well, I know.
Much better than the eyewitness. But what's more fun is how many of these people are wearing these glasses? Now, how many of these people are looking at screens where I want that information? Like, we need another way to commit identity theft.
Ghost in the Shell, Interceptors. Anyways, yeah. I don't think I'm going to be getting a pair of these glasses. And if I get a job somewhere that says you have to have these glasses to report on your productivity, the answer is going to be no, thank you. It's like, well, I guess I'm back on the job market.
How many HIPAA violations would this be? So I'm just processing insurance claims. These glasses have to go out to verify what I'm looking at, right?
Well, the thing is, when Google Glass came out and the Microsoft version, a lot of these same arguments were made and places were banning them. Of course, both those products flopped, so I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I think Aryu's right. I think it's eventually going to be, you know, you're not looking at the right thing. Zap. It's like, oh, you're taking too long to accomplish this task. Zap. So, I will not be backing this on Indiegogo. I'm just going to, you know. Don't normally back things on crowdfunding sites anymore. I've learned my lesson on that one.
Got the fish tank burn you too much?
Say what?
The fish tank burn you too much?
The fish tank. Oh, yeah, the peachy printer. Yeah. Yeah, okay, I've done other Kickstarter things since then, but it's been where it's been an established company that's really doing pre-orders. But, yeah, if it's a product in development and they've got a slick marketing video and some Photoshop markups, don't back it. It's not real. If they don't have a functioning prototype that they're showing without, you know, some kind of digital trickery in the camera, and you can tell, right? You can tell when it's a product markup and they're using CG to make it look like it's real. You know, if they don't have a functioning prototype that they can just show in an iPhone camera shot or something like that, I guess that's not a good example anymore either. You know what I mean. If it's not real with a real organization behind it, I probably wouldn't back it on Kickstarter. But, you know, hey, it's your money if you want to gamble with it.
Yeah, you're in the dystopian future we all want.
Actually, if you want to gamble with your money, just go gamble with it. It's probably more fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually did pretty well on penny slots last time I went to a casino, so found a machine that had odds I liked and figured out that the mini game that it played pays out really well even if you're making small bets. And so I had worked out how many lines to routinely trigger the mini game and then just did the minimum bet with that lines. So it was like, I don't know, 8 cents a spin, something like that. And every 10 to 15 spins, you'd hit the mini game, and the mini game, you usually win $5 or $6 back. So it wasn't a fast process, but I was up.
That's it, man. Like, you can do it. You know, mine was poker. Ground away at that poker for 3 days and ended up with a couple hundred bucks, comped all drinks and food.
There you go.
You could, if you could actually live like that.
Some people do.
You could pay rent and live like that. You know, if you've got self-control and impulse control with gambling, you could live a pretty nice little life.
I wonder how many retirees live in Vegas doing that.
Dude, as long as you got self-control, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you don't get all excited and just blow it all.
Yeah. I mean, I was only in the town for 4 days, so I did it for 3 and cashed out $250 at the end and blew it on the tables in one big go.
Well, that's what happened to me is I got talked by my dad into going to the blackjack tables, and everything I had won the past couple of days, gone in 10 minutes. It's like, for fuck's sake.
But it wasn't my money. It was their money anyway. I didn't lose shit. Because I didn't lose the first dollar I put in. I was up. I looked at it as, that's not my money. You know, I'm not losing anything here. My accommodation's been paid. My food's been paid. They gave me all the Budweiser I could drink, and they gave me $250 just for staying. What a lovely place. I came out ahead. They can have their $250 back. I'm not even grateful.
You pocketed your starter money and then just gambled your winnings away.
Yeah.
Well done. Most people don't do that. Most people, you know, they get that big win. They blow all that. Then they start getting money out of the old bank account to keep going, thinking they're going to win it back.
I didn't have a big win, man. It was all about the 25 cents here, 25 cents there.
Yep.
And I played it like a video game, man. That was just the score. Just keep the score ticking over. And we were trapped inside anyway because of the California wildfires, the smoke. Yeah. So we had to do it.
Well, I tell you, I mean, I was on a cruise, and so was effectively trapped there because there wasn't that much else to do on the cruise. Eat, drink, go to the casino. I mean, it's like, okay, well. So once I figured out that penny slot system that was working pretty well for me, I mean, yeah, it worked out really well for me. So, like I said, then I lost it all in blackjack, so it's like, fuck.
Oh, you've got the mind to do it. Look up the MIT Blackjack manual and read how to play blackjack.
Only if you want your thumbs broken.
He's not going to win enough to get caught.
Dude, they have professionals that spot for that sort of shit.
Well, the trick would be, I mean, if I remember what I read on that stuff right, you're not really counting cards, and that's one of the reasons why they have multiple decks shuffled together in that big slot thing, is you're trying to predict when the deck is primed for a win and when it's not. And they do take tons of precautions against that kind of stuff nowadays.
Exactly, but a professional can watch your betting, and they'll know when you're doing it.
Oh, yeah, because you're betting the minimum to stay at the table until the deck's primed, and then you're raising like a madman because you know you're going to get some decent cards.
Yep.
And then that one time you win, they'll ask you to leave.
Oh, no, they'll let you win a little bit. They'll make it till they can prove that you're doing it. And then they'll ask you to come over to the window, you know, and they'll pay you out. And then the security will escort you into a room. And then I figure it pretty much goes down like Casino the movie. You can keep the winnings, or I take your hand. You know what I mean?
They'll let you keep the winnings. They just don't have to let you keep playing.
Yeah, they'll just ask you to leave.
It's not mechanical assistance. It's not cheating. And if they don't pay you your winnings, you just became a millionaire.
Oh, for the lawsuit? Yeah.
It's easier, kids. Just launder your money through the casino.
Well, that's the thing, is you're right. They're probably going to stop you before you have enough winnings for them to care about just paying you out and asking you to leave. Now, what's going to happen then, because most of these places have state-of-the-art security systems that do all the face tracking and shit like that, your profile is going in that system. If you walk into that casino or any of the other casinos they're partnered with, the security is just going to walk you right back out.
Dude, all those security casinos talk to each other. Get on the blacklist, you're fucked. Same as here in Australia. If you get on the Crown Casino blacklist, you are fucked globally.
The way they do it in the States, because since you're not actually cheating, they can't actually ban you. But there's nothing in the rules saying the dealer can't shuffle after every deal. So they just make it where your system can't work. Slows the game down a lot. What's the next one, Warps?
The next one is actually getting into Dojo. So if you guys are ready, we can move on.
Let's go into Dojo.
So this one is cool. This is interesting. So there's this project called Mazi Zones. It's a Greek word. It, I guess, means connection or something like that. But anyways, it's for doing your own local Wi-Fi zones that are independent. They're not internet connections. They're just their own private networks. And this is a guide for setting one up using a Raspi. And you know, when you set one up, it'll be running some basic network services, DNS, things like that. And then you'll have some software applications that you can run on the main server. This is usually things like OwnCloud, a few others, the pastebin copy clone. And then they've got an actual list of things that, you know, they already support in the platform. It heard of that one word. Oh, DP View saying it translates to Together Zone. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I only skimmed parts of it, so when they were talking about why they chose that word, I wasn't all that interested. But then I haphazardly mentioned it. So, but yeah, they've got Nextcloud, Etherpad, Frame Data, Guestbook, Interview Archive, things that you can set up on the actual Raspi. But the interesting thing about it is it's not just its own little network. It's designed with the idea of mesh networking. So you then can set up other nodes that connect into your original one. So especially if you have like high power Wi-Fi cards on these things. So you can actually set up your own basically private Wi-Fi internet. You know, it's not terribly dissimilar from that Cuban network we saw where people were building their own private networks for playing games. They weren't really internet connected or anything. They were just, you know, their own little private network. Same thing, just on the Wi-Fi using Raspis to set up the mesh. So they're actually apparently doing some large-scale deployments in Europe where they're testing it out. But, you know, if you want to build your own, I just thought it was a very interesting project. So thoughts, comments, nothing? Moving on.
Nothing on that, man. Not something I'm really interested in.
All right.
I wonder how big you can make your own network.
Depending on how they've set up the mesh, there's no real functional limit. It's just how much hardware and time have you got. Usually the way it works is you'll with a mesh network, you have a couple of network interfaces that are actually for traffic, user traffic, and then a couple of more that are just for maintaining the mesh. So they'll connect, you know, one's for doing connections to other nodes, one's for receiving connections from other nodes. And you'll have an entire sub-network that's just for maintaining the mesh. And it handles addressing and routing between the nodes and things like that. So, functionally, I guess there's going to be an upper limit with address space somewhere. But I don't think you're going to run into it anytime soon. Of course, we thought we weren't going to run out of IPv4 addresses, so I don't know. Might be a concern if it got big enough. But since you can run multiples on your own, if you really need it, if you ran out of space on one and needed to make a second one, you just make a second one that's just not connected to the first. Or maybe you set up a bridge somewhere to move things between the two.
Think you could build your own private internet?
If you had enough people interested in it, I don't know why you couldn't.
Dystopian possibility here, guys.
So, and finally, last thing I have for you in Dojo tonight is an article on Cyber News that walks you through the major email providers. That would be Gmail, Yahoo, and Microsoft. And identifying all the accounts that you have linked to these email accounts. Especially because most people set up stuff and don't really know about it. And so they've got some stuff for Google, Yahoo, and Outlook to go through and find all the connected accounts. And, you know, they talk about how to go through and check your things and your browsers and your email accounts and in your phone to see what all you have linked to account, you know, account-wise. So you can just basically do an audit of what kind of accounts do you have, especially ones that you may have set up, used twice, and forgot about. So, interesting article, not bad information, a little bit on the basic side, but, you know, still, good data. And that's all I've got. Go ahead.
Like, how many trash Gmail accounts do I have?
I lost track of that a long time ago. I'm sure there's hundreds of accounts I've set up, forgotten about, that are still sitting there chugging away doing something, most likely just receiving spam email, but...
My Hotmail account now has 82 gig of spam mail.
You get the bill one day. What the fuck is this? It took us years to track you down, but we think this is you. You owe this Hotmail account, and it's got so much spam in it. It's like, why didn't you just shut it down? Because then how would we bill you for it?
So. It was listed as a free account when I started. We changed our terms of service 3 decades ago, sir.
It was free when you started? Man, you're old. Anyways, that's all I have for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and in the IRC tonight, myself, Sardonyx, Cyberlord, Cycros, DP View, Madman, and the Coffee Maker. Madman, closing thoughts.
Yeah, I don't have anything.
Fair enough. Are you? Closing thoughts.
I had a really inappropriate joke, but I'm just going to let it lie. How's that?
Well, sometimes it is better to let things linger. So, hey, we're only 15 minutes over the hour this time tonight.
Slowly bringing it back on track instead of multi-track drifting.
So, anyways, that's it. I'm done. Sounds.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Down to go nose down and call it a night.
Shut up, Wesley.